The feast of Corpus Christi, the external solemnity of Corpus Christi, Corpus Christi is third day. We are permitted to celebrate what's called an external solemnity today. The epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I myself who receive you have received from the Lord what I deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, giving thanks, broke and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner also the cup, after he had supped, said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you shall eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily will not distinguish in the body, eats and drinks judgment unto himself." The gospel is taken from that. At that time, Jesus said to the crowd of Jews, "My flesh is with me, my drink is my blood is drinking to you. For he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and as I live because of the Father, so he who eats me shall also live because of him. This is the bread that has come down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate manna and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever." Thus the word of the Lord God. Be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today on the feast of Corpus Christi, the external solemnity of Corpus Christi, we will take our Lord, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament here, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and take him out of the church to process through the neighborhood, to sanctify the neighborhood as a statement, to bring him out and as a statement of his divinity. This is God. And he is here. And we process through the neighborhood in order to sanctify it. The devil will go into flight. This is truly God. And we do this today because today we're celebrating, of course, the feast of the body of our Lord. Now, Holy Thursday is also the feast of the Eucharist, but our Lord here to St. Juliana in the 1300s. Don't quote me on the date. Late 1200s, early 1300s. In order to say, and he said to her, in order to establish this feast, why he said, because on Holy Thursday, although that is the feast of the Eucharist, I want another feast established, because on Thursday, people meditate upon my death, as proper, his death and resurrection, of course, in the Holy Trinity. So, he wants, though, a separate feast, specifically for the body of Christ. Now, why is this? It's because the body of Christ, as it says in the Gospel, is truly, truly, the Eucharist is truly, truly, the flesh and blood of our Lord. Now, some people, Protestants, who read the Bible, want to say, no, our Lord was speaking symbolically. But if they read the early commentators on the church, the early fathers of the church, St. Hilary of Poitiers, St. Augustine, the men in the early church, they're very clear. They say, this statement here, he says, "My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." It shows that our Lord is saying, "I am not speaking symbolically. I'm speaking literally. Indeed it is. Indeed it is." So he gives us this great gift. Why? So that he will abide in us. The most complete union that we can have with him in the flesh. He comes down to our level. He comes down to our level. He takes the form of flesh. He is a man. His body. Born from the Virgin Mary. And he miraculously changes that bread and wine into his body and blood so that he can then be united to us on our level, fleshy. We are flesh and blood, and he comes down to be united to us with flesh and blood. And body in you, so you abide in me. You know, our Lord is course, God and man. True man, true God. He was a hypothetical mystical union there. But it is on his funeral of his flesh that he is united to us. Now, of course, he says, also, I am united to the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, so he is united to the Father. And so by receiving communion, you receive that intimate union with Christ. Christ is truly present with us and united to us on our nature, our human nature, but he is also united to the Father on his divine nature. And so this is how he affects our union with God and with the Father. It is as though on one hand, if we want to think about this symbolically, on one hand he extends his human nature to us and takes in our hand in his, while his other hand is with his divine nature with the Father, and then becomes the bridge for us, to bring us together. Christ truly dwells in us. And if anyone is weak in the faith, maybe, and thinks, well, I'm not sure if that's the case. Or you can miss the miracles, and they're there for you to see. Many of them are in Europe. Lanciano is one of them, where there's a bleeding post. There's others around in Europe where you can see, and this was given to us miraculously to strengthen our faith. This is truly the body of our Lord. The body of our Lord. And he comes to make us holy. He unites the God. And we have to be in sanctifying grace already, not give people more sin. And when he unites himself with us, he brings an increase in sanctifying grace, that is, we become holier. Every time we see communion worthily, St. Paul warns, let the first sin judge himself. You see communion worthy, you receive an increase in sanctifying grace, you become holy. And when we understand what's going on, it's obvious. If we are being united to God every time we receive communion, we do become holy. But not only does that happen, but it brings us other graces and gifts to help us. Which is called actual grace. Something to do with and do with evil. Now, the presence of our Lord in us at communion only lasts about 15 minutes. As long as there is the bread, you just receive the species of the bread, which is the body. As long as that remains, then the presence of Christ is there. Once it begins to, what the theologian would say, corrupt, that is, it ceases to be identifiable as bread, it's in the stomach, and then things start happening, then the divine presence of our Lord ceases. And most theologians say it's about 15 minutes that Christ is truly present there with you. But although that presence on the human level, the flesh, ceases, he still affects that union, that increase in sanctifying grace. So that union now will remain. We still, that holiness, that increased holiness still remains in us, that sanctifying grace in those other things. And you know, when we think about it, then if Christ is dwelling in us, we're like a tabernacle. We put the tabernacle here in the center of the church. Christ is enthroned here. This is his throne room. St. Therese of Lisieux says, Christ has not come from heaven to reside in a golden ceremonial. He comes to reside in you. He's here for you. He wants to be united to you in this way. But when he does, we are like a tabernacle, the golden receptacle, the ceremonial in which Christ dwells. And in a way, this is also like Our Lady. For Christ came and dwelled in her in the flesh. In a little different way, for he became flesh within her. He was a little baby in her. And she was a walking tabernacle. When I am, Christ truly dwelled in her, and she was sanctified because of it, but not only did it just, her sanctification of holiness end in her, she didn't say, I'm holy in everything else, No, she became then a channel for grace. When she visited St. Elizabeth, she brought Christ to him, to her. St. Elizabeth and, of course, St. John the Baptist. And it was through her, Christ dwelling in her, for the graces that came to sanctify us in our lives. She was literally a walking tabernacle. You know, in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, Our Lady referred to the Ark of the New Covenant. Why the Ark of the Covenant? What's special about the Ark of the Covenant? It is, as he says, as God says, this is my dwelling place among my people. It is the gold receptacle in which God is mystically present there, and he's so holy that if anyone touched the ark of God, they have to be cold everyone. That's his presence there among his people. Of course, the Ark of the Covenant is gone. Our Lady is the ark. Christ is has his holy presence within her. But also, we want to imitate Mary. And when we receive communion, in a sense we do. For Christ is truly, truly present within us. And you know, this reminds me of a certain saint. Saint Anthony Mary Claret. He's not very well known, I don't think, but he was a very holy priest and bishop in the 1800s. And he had great gifts. He was a missionary priest. He used to go and give missions, walk around Spain to give missions. And he had the gift of those great, incredible gifts of grace. He could heal. He could give the healing. He was a pastor for a while. And people just come to him and he was prescribing them. Well, why don't you take this, a little special sort of mustard compress. Okay, do this. And things would happen. And he would even say, in his autobiography, he was bound in the Holy of Jesus to write his autobiography. He didn't want to write it. And he was told, you have to write, tell us about your spiritual experience. Because not many people have this true gift of healing and other great graces. And he wrote about it. And he knew that the little things he prescribed weren't the source of healing. He knew that that became that sort of the grace, the sacramental by which he's made. And it was so well known that his gift of healing that when he would go out on a mission to another parish, another town, he would walk to the other town and walk back. He would come back to his home parish and people would be upset with him and say, Father, if you were here, my relative would not have died because someone would have gotten sick. And he would have died when he was wrong. Because they knew that he was there, he would have been able to heal me. And St. Anthony Mary Claret, he writes about this. He talks about how in your life, if he does it, you need to try to raise people from the dead. And he says that that is not a grace given to you. He tried to pursue it out, try to bring them back. But he couldn't do it. God wouldn't give him that grace. We know that there are some saints who have received that grace. Saint John Bosco, in famous incidences where he brings the boys back to life. But Saint Anthony Mary Claret, though, although he did not receive that grace, received another incredible grace. He said, one time when I was at Mass, after Mass, I received the host. And remember the host remains for a few minutes. He said he felt the host reassemble the room. And remain that for a few moments. And we think about this, of course, the miracle is that the bread is changed in the body, and then once we consume it, it is by natural means, that is by our digestion, by our stomach, and things like that, that then that is undone, which is naturally by which it is broken down. So this is a little miracle, God. And the natural world says, okay, well, St. Anthony Mary Claret, if you power, you suspend those laws, and that host will remain in you. You're not going to put it back together. And for those hours, he was walking together, literally. Christ is revealing him. And he said, after a few hours, he went away. You know, those things at all. And he said, a few weeks later, the same thing happened. And then he said, it happened a third time. The host reassembled within him, over his heart. He said, but this time, it did not dissolve. It remained with me. progress on the path. Until the point of his writing his autobiography. Now, this occurred late in his life. He was a bishop at this time. He learned about the sanctity of holiness, many miracles associated with him. He became literally a walking tomb. And we think about that wonderful grace, but when we really reflect on it, that is a fantastic grace. However, for us, when we receive that grace, the same thing happened to us. It may only be 15 minutes, but it is still there. No difference than seeing anything here for a minute. No difference is that we bought a longer period of time. But remember the fleshy union that ends up receiving the body. It is not the end of itself. What is the purpose of it? To affect that spiritual union, so that we are united with God. So although Satan has received this great gift, we also receive a great gift, which is greater than that. Well, he received it also, and you did not. You did not. And just like Our Lady, who had that gift of Christ within her, when she went out and greeted Elizabeth, she was then the channel of grace. Holiness didn't remain in her, but in her, but in her. On a mystical level, she didn't understand, maybe. So also, when we are holy, when we are in sanctified grace, that holiness should not just remain in us. That when we go out, that we are to bring Christ out with people. And it is different, but the same. Our Lady could have brought Christ in the flesh, but she brought the graces from God to other people. We don't have Christ in our flesh, but we do have that gift from God. When we go out, we are to bring the graces to other people. You know, it's no different, by the way, than for us Christian professors. We leave church with Christ, and we will process around the neighborhood in order to bring the graces to the neighborhood. So also each of us, when we leave church, we are to bring the grace of Christ to the people. We might just be our very presence, maybe not talking to them, trying to do something, but just our very presence. Maybe a little silent prayer. But we are to imitate Our Lady. And that is to be the channel of conduit for grace for other people. So today, on this great feast of Corpus Christi, let us pray. St. Paul says, look at ourselves, test ourselves, as to whether we are worthy. Whether are we in a state of grace? Are we holy? So that when we receive communion, we get that increase in holiness. But it should not just remain with us. So that when we go out in the world, we do bring Christ to a world in need. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.